This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
All right, we're back here on a Wednesday. Good morning and welcome. Tanya Andrix joins us from Crossing Healthcare. Tanya, hope you're having a great start to your day. How's the Shield testing going?
Good morning, Brian. The Shield testing is going very well. We started that on Friday of last week and had a slow start, only tested about 50 community members. And now we're testing Monday and Tuesday over 100 per day. And the feedback we're getting is the process is going smooth. However, everyone has a varying degree of difficulty learning how to fill that test tube. Once people sort of get the hang of it, it's a pretty smooth process.
Yeah, it ought to be called a drool test.
It's exactly what it really is. That's it. Lindsay did a wonderful description of her experience, and it had our whole team and just laughing because she described it on point of what it's like to fill that, to drool into the test tube. I'm told that we're probably not much different than Pavlov's dogs. Those folks at ADM who have been doing this surveillance testing for a good amount of time, test weekly. I've talked to several ADM employees who say that when they walk into the room where they are required to go each week to shield test, their mouths just automatically start drooling out.
Yeah.
So I guess it gets easier with time, right?
No doubt. Well, kudos for being on the front end of all of this for the community. Let's talk about cases. 59 cases reported, and then you also have three more deaths, a female in her 70s, the other two both male, one in his 50s, one in his 70s. We had a woman in her 30s die last week. Just talked to Drew and some other folks earlier. They thought maybe things were, you know, maybe it was ebbing a little bit, but now it doesn't look like it's slowing down. What's the state of the state?
You know, our test positivity rate is slowly declining, but I think the best way to tell the story right now is if you do look on IDPH's website and look at the different data points, if you look at the cases by age range, they break it out by decades. And the 40 and under, so the 40s, 30s, and 20 and under have much higher positivity rates than our older population here locally. So right now, this is spreading amongst people age 40 and younger. The highest age range for positive tests in our Macon County is 20 and under. So this is spreading in a new demographic. And so everything that we went through last fall was in the older age demographic. And so we're really just seeing that happen again. And so we're not out of the woods. It feels different because it is different now. It's in a different age group, but it's still just as prevalent in the community. Our test positivity rate is like 7.5%. So anything around that 8% range is completely, you know, out of control. And too prevalent for us to take a deep breath and let our guard down.
All right. Now, I know that we have breakthrough cases, although they are still small in number compared to overall. But the vast majority of the hospitalizations that we have, not only here in Macon County, but in Illinois and across the United States, are preventable.
You're absolutely correct. And it's interesting, both health systems have dashboards. HSHS Medical Group has a dashboard, as does Memorial Health Systems. And they report what we're seeing in our regions as it relates to vaccination status. And it is clearly, yes, there are some breakthrough cases, but severity of illness and hospitalizations and deaths are localized to that unvaccinated population. And even within, this is kind of common sense, even within the breakthrough cases, when you do see hospitalizations in breakthrough cases, it is typically people who have compromised health to start with. And so, you know, folks who have compromised health, even with the vaccination, you know, COVID's a tough disease. And so, you know, we can't forget that. And so, you know, when folks say, well, it's impacting people with or without vaccination, that is not correct. The vaccine is safe. It is very effective, and it has shown itself to be very effective against even the Delta variant that we're seeing locally now.
All right. And looking at the Kaiser Foundation numbers from earlier, there were in June 32,000 preventable hospitalizations, 68,000 in July, 187,000 in August. We won't have the full September numbers. But, Tanya, if you look at that and the average, you know, cost of those stays, that is $5.7 billion.
It really stops me in my track to see that data. I have spent a career increasing access to healthcare and trying to pull down costs and bring costs out of the system so that we can get care, affordable care, to everyone in our country. And when I see the waste and the preventable expenses that embog on our healthcare system that this has caused, it almost makes you sick when you think about what those dollars could have been done and the battle over time to get access to healthcare to more people, and how our country has just thrown these dollars at it in the last year. It's really almost hard for me to personally wrap my head around, to be honest with you, because I understand what that means and what that could have meant to so many people. So it's all the more reason why we've got to get our vaccination rates up locally. And, you know, the mandates are not popular, but I think that's what is likely going to take to push vaccination rates higher locally, because that is the way that we get on to the other side or work through what COVID has done to our community and to our world.
There's something on Capital Facts today that is worth sharing, because there is, and this is in Salem, Illinois, at a place called Sharon's Cafe. And last summer, one of our state representatives, Blaine Wilhauer, was visiting those restaurants in Marion County, telling them that the health department had no authority to tell them they could not have indoor dining. This was in the middle of what was going on with the indoor dining in June of last year. In fact, on his Twitter account is him proudly posing for a picture with the owners and the patrons, no one wearing a mask. This is from Sharon's Cafe yesterday on their social media. "It is a very sad day for the cafe. We've lost one of our cooks due to COVID. She sadly passed away last night. We will be taking donations for medical and funeral expenses. Please, please wear your mask when visiting our business." It took one of theirs dying for them to listen to any reason.
You know, isn't that what we've seen, though, throughout this entire pandemic? It takes personal experience. It's as if we don't want to believe the science, and we only want to believe what we can see with our own eyes. And while I understand that the world has gotten us to that level of mistrust for a million reasons, this is one of those times where we have to show some faith and trust in the healthcare experts. You know, even the ones, you know, if you can't get yourself to believe the CDC, or you can't get yourself to believe, you know, those, you know, government agencies, trust your doctor, trust the person that, you know, trust Dale, the local pharmacist, the people that you can go have a conversation with. That's where we're at, because we really have to get a handle on this locally, because I'm going to tell you, the healthcare system is taxed and they're tired. You can hear it, you know, when you talk to Drew and when you talk to Teresa. I can tell you that staff, you know, you can't keep asking staff to do hard stuff for 2 years. It's a lot for anyone.
Not to mention the people that are getting turned away, who have real emergencies, right, and real things to deal with as well. I read a story over the weekend. I think it was Alabama, or it could have been Georgia. A heart attack victim turned away from 43 hospitals.
Yeah, I read that and read how the family wanted this in the obituary to encourage people to get vaccinated. And that broke my heart to think about, you know, we have worked so hard in healthcare to improve the quality of care that's been being delivered. If you think about the work we've done around cardiovascular health and stroke care and what we can accomplish, you know, with our technology here locally to save people. And yet we can't divert the resources to that kind of care right now because we're, you know, staffing at COVID ICUs. It's tough.
It is incredibly tough. Keep up the great work, Tanya. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. Tanya Andrix from Crossing Healthcare. Amazingly.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.